Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. And it was at least a night for me where I had to make some decisions about what to watch. Normally, in the middle of the summer, on a Monday, it's going to be a pretty easy decision. You're watching Astros, see how the club does. Last night, with them being off, you got to make a pick. You're either watching the deciding game of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Game 7, the Panthers trying to avoid infamy, or you're watching the Aggies and the Vols in a winner-take-all, who's going to win their first baseball title. And we know the Aggies drop Game 3 to the Vols. They made a valiant effort late to make it a game. It was a game where there were some missed opportunities. A couple times they had runners on with one out and couldn't push it across. But they got going late, made a one-run game. But at the end of the day, the Vols hang on and they go win the first title in their history. You had Peyton Manning there. Morgan Wallen was there. Jeff Kent was there. I don't know. That's the most famous Aggie affiliation I saw. He's the only one they kept flashing to, at least from what I remember, because of his son being in the lineup. I don't think the Aggies had a famous star from a different, it wouldn't be a sport, but
walk of life.
Walk of life, I guess. Even Peyton Manning got outshined by Morgan Wallen. They flash to the crowd and they go, "Look, recording star Morgan Wallen." As under it, with the graphic, there was nothing referencing Peyton Manning. Now Peyton Manning made the rounds. He even said after that, "Tennessee sports is coming. This ain't going to be the first. I mean, this won't be the last." I mean, right. Rick Barnes was there. I saw him sitting next to Peyton Manning at one point too.
Talk about not winning anything.
Yeah, I guess you have all the faith in Josh Heupel you want, Peyton. We'll see about that. We'll see if that particular way of playing offense ever wins anything. It never has. It's exciting. It brought life to Tennessee. They were better than we thought they would be quickly. But that way of playing offensive football doesn't win.
It's tough on your defense.
Yeah. I mean, and we saw once Georgia got a look at them in a regular season matchup, what that offense can look like when it's just a one route offense for the most part, and you're just testing guys deep and on slants and glance routes. Georgia was like, "Oh, we've seen that before," and this was now I think a couple years ago. So I don't know if Tennessee sports is coming like Peyton thinks, but they do get a baseball title. So congratulations to the Vols, I guess, and congratulations to all the Aggie haters. If last night was more about rooting against than rooting for anyone, congratulations to you. I respect the energy. I'm a hater too. I will hate against things even if I have no real rooting interest other than to hate on one of the teams or the people participating. So the Aggies don't win a title. They don't make history winning their first. I'm not even sure what the connotation is. Is it just first team title by a sport we care about, for a sport we care about since 1939. I figure that's the context of it, because there is no real real record being set because they've won other things since 1939. It's just, hey, we don't care about that other stuff. This is something some people would actually care about for the most part. So this is your first title since then.
Yeah, I saw a lot of in the big three sports, which...
And you're stretching it with baseball.
Yeah.
There's really only a big two. I know the South loves baseball. I get it. South dominates baseball. If you're not a Southern program, you're rarely going to win. I mean, out West, they have good teams and they will compete. But now they're still going to be out West, but there just is no Western Conference.
There's a Big Ten.
Yeah, there's a Big Ten. The farthest West Power 5 sports, or now Power 4 sports, is the Big Ten and the Big 12. Those are the as far as what they're called. There's no Pac-12 anymore.
Oh, Stanford, too. So you have ACC out there.
Cal, too. I forgot. Cal's in the ACC, too. Yeah, so the ACC is actually the most Western Power 4 conference, and they're barely Power 4 at this point. They're hanging on by a thread. Wait till Clemson and Florida State leave, and then Miami will probably follow them to see how much Power 4 they are. But they are right now. So the ACC, you're right. I mean, it is called the Atlantic Coast Conference, but maybe you can just call it the Coast Conference.
All Coast.
There it is. All Coast Conference. They'll never change it, but they should. That's easy. You keep the branding. You just change that little thing underneath the ACC that they always have.
Yeah, you just draw a little line through the word Atlantic.
Yeah,
and you write all
Coast Conference, and then they have SMU, so it's not exactly Gulf Coast, but it's close enough.
Yeah, close.
It's in the state of Texas. That's off the Gulf Coast. So you're right.
You have three of the four time zones.
I appreciate my producer, Sean, for that name. It should be called that. And they should get on that, but they never will.
It would make, no. Meanwhile, the Big 12 is selling its naming rights to the All-State 12.
Yeah.
With 16 teams.
Whatever. Yeah, the ACC was going to stand on business and tradition when they have SMU and Cal in the conference, but they must be considered the Atlantic Coast Conference when they clearly aren't anymore.
I'm trying to think of a company they can change their name to.
The ACC?
Yeah, to encompass.
It has to be Southern-based, too.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, the Globe Life Conference. Because the teams are 5,000 miles away from each
other. Spanning the globe, at least of America they are. Yeah, that will work. But if they want to avoid corporate sponsorship, go to the All Coast Conference, and you'd be good. It would make a lot of sense compared to all the other ones that are keeping either a numeral that doesn't match up anymore, or they're selling the naming rights to whatever insurance company wants to get involved. Just happens to be the case. So yeah, the Aggies lose. It was on my side TV, or at least let's be clear, side monitor. I had it on my laptop. I was watching the Stanley Cup Finals on my TV. I know someone who drove down from the Midwest to go to that game. They didn't have tickets. I guess they're going to try to procure them when they got there. I texted them and asked them if they got into the building. I haven't heard back yet, but I got to admit, hockey got me last night. I am a kind of Panthers fan. I'm not watching them on a day-to-day basis. I don't care what they do in the middle of January against the Islanders, but I followed that team last year. I followed them back in 96 when they lost to the Colorado Avalanche. So there's a connection there, but hockey's not my biggest thing. I saw a lot of people talk about it's a disgrace that hockey doesn't reside in Houston, considering Florida's now the champions for the first time ever, as if the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't exist. Florida's been winning titles the last 5 or 6 years, the state of Florida at least. But it always happens when a non-traditional hockey town wins. This city, particularly people on Twitter, are begging for a hockey team. We'll see. I think last year, actually it was probably earlier this year, they had an event out at Carbach where they were trying to push for hockey to Houston. A lot of people went out there. So we'll see if any momentum is gained for that. But the game itself last night lived up to the hype. You had all the storylines. You had the best player in the world in Connor McDavid, who won the Conn Smythe. I get into this. I'm not sure how much I should explain like hockey things to people as if they don't know, just because we never get hockey calls. But he won the MVP of the playoffs. That's what the Conn Smythe is, even though he didn't win the cup.
Disappearing act, really.
The last two games. Yeah, game 6 and 7 doesn't register a point after being that speaks volumes. Yeah. Volumes. Okay. For what he was.
Best player in the playoffs. All right.
He was great. He just did not show up.
I mean,
as far as scoring points, he was he was active. He was causing issues. He just didn't get on the scoreboard.
I only watched the two-thirds of the last game. So
yeah, look at you.
I heard
taking shots at one of the best in the world.
I heard Steve Levy mention that he didn't score a point, and then he had like one shot in the first period. So then I was like, all right, that's my narrative.
Best play in the world, my ass. Yeah. Choking, yeah. Connor McDavid. Of course, he drugged them from the brinks of a sweep.
Choker McDavid.
Some people are calling him Connor McSmythe because that's all he got. Which is actually a great compliment for what he was, because it does give the award for throughout the playoffs as opposed to just the final round where we saw Jaylen Brown win the MVP of the NBA Finals. The Panthers with Bobrovsky, their goalie, was great. Late, he had struggled leading up into that game in 4, 5, and 6, but he was great last night and made some key stops. One that ESPN didn't show. ESPN is getting crushed for their coverage by traditional hockey people, particularly people who watch it from a Canadian perspective. As far as watching it on a night to night basis and getting the Canada feed, because ESPN didn't even show the initial lifting of the cup. They missed it. They're cutting to they had a camera off ice. Maybe even it was above the ice, and they missed it because the guy skated out of the angle. But they were flipping over to a guy on the ice on skates. They wanted that shot, but the initial lift they missed, period, which is, you know, the biggest moment in the sport, where watching the captain lift the cup for the first time, and they missed it. Shout out to ESPN for being poor at the one thing you have to get right. The one thing.
And it's also the final, professional sports championship. Actually, final championship that, again, we care about even remotely. Where the end of it is so, like, there, you first you do this and then you do this, yeah. Like, there's so many traditions where then they shake hands and then they do this.
You throw off all your equipment when you win. You hug everyone. You hug the goalie, and then after like 3 or 4 minutes of that, oh yeah, we shake hands with the opponent after we beat them in the series, and then the Conn Smythe comes out. It usually goes to one of the winners. Didn't go this time. Connor McDavid wasn't even out to pick it up. They just, hey, Connor McDavid wins, and they had to take the trophy off the ice because he wasn't coming out to get it. Some guys do, but he did not. And then they bring out the Stanley Cup. Probably, I don't even know if it's probably, the best trophy in all of sports. Definitely. Yeah. The presentation. I was talking about how the NBA Finals didn't feel like the Finals because of the presentation stuff. The Stanley Cup, at least in that instance, the Stanley Cup Finals, they do it right. It was something to see as they brought it out. They gave it to Barkov, the captain, and ESPN misses it. But overall, a great final game, 2-1, which is how the Panthers play. And if you saw the end of it, in fact, we'll play a clip when we come back of how it ended. Sean McDonough was on the call for ABC. It's something they do. The last 15 seconds, the puck was pinned against one of the boards, and that killed off the game. And they've won several games that way. And you're going to hear Sean McDonough allude to it. Billy Ray, I see you. You want to talk Astros. We're late for a break. We'll get to your talk. I don't know if that's your real name, but usually this is the rule. If you call in with your real name, we'll get to you quickly. If it's a fake name and it's a clear status is a fake name, I'll make you wait. But I'm assuming, Billy Ray, that's your name. You want to talk Astros, although it's probably a poor assumption. I don't know if a Billy Ray has ever called in before. We'll get to you when we come back. And if it turns out you're not a real person, or at least a real name, then we know. Billy Ray goes off the board as far as real names. Sorry, hurts every other Billy Ray that comes after you, but sorry, a precedent will have been set. We'll talk to Billy Ray when we come back, and we'll hear the final call from the Panthers winning their first ever Stanley Cup title when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
20 seconds to go. One last gasp for Edmonton. Bouchard's pass didn't click with Draisaitl. 12 seconds to go. Florida trying to end it up against the wall, which would be fitting. 3 seconds to go. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
is Sean McDonough on the call on ABC yesterday. All the calls come out at some point. You have the big broadcast, and you have the radio broadcast for both teams. And I don't know the names. I think one of the guys is named Bill Lindsay for the Panthers broadcast. And, you know, it's a moment of their lives. They've been, a lot of those guys, particularly the radio guys, are with the franchise for years, and some of them from the inception, particularly if it's a more recent franchise. And so this is their giant moment. And the play-by-play guy's doing a great job. I listened to all the calls throughout the morning. And you've got this, you've got the analyst. You can hear every breath he's taking. And he's, maybe it's just the mics for QWM, which is the Panthers' broadcast partner in Miami. Maybe it's the mics. But, you know, the play-by-play guy's been waiting for this his entire life, to make a championship call. And his partner's like, and doing the whole analyst exciting thing, like, can't believe it's happening. I was like, if I'm the play-by-play guy, I'm like, come on, bro. This is what I've been sitting here for my entire life, and I gotta manage you and maneuver around you while your heavy breathing is going into the microphones.
I normally love when the analyst kind of steps on the play-by-play call, just out of Schadenfreude, just because I know how much it upsets them. But I like it when it's like more low stakes. I think that one I'm actually like, yeah, dude, what the hell are you doing?
I mean, we might play a little later. It's there. Awful Announcing has them all. They have the Edmonton one, which was pretty good. The Edmonton guy, he's making the call, and you can really barely tell if you don't, that he's the Edmonton broadcaster. He's counting down, and then at the end, as there's some silence, he's letting you take it all in, you hear all the crowd noise, and then his analysts, the tone of, oh, the Edmonton Oilers just lost the Stanley Cup. You can tell from his tone that they are the Edmonton broadcast. So it was a big night in sports, even for sports we don't normally pay that much attention to, because, well, we know we're a town with major sports to talk about, and we're going to get to that right now. Billy Ray, he wants to talk about the Astros. What's up, Billy Ray?
Hey, good morning, Dale. I just want to say congratulations on one of your Florida teams finally getting the title.
Billy Ray. Thanks, Billy Ray.
And also, I want to hopefully the Astros continue their winning streak to make it six games. But I got to ask you a serious question. Well, what are the chances that the hot Tua girl will be on OnlyFans? I just wanted to know.
Yeah. Sorry. All other Billy Rays who call the show. This guy has ruined it for you as far as getting on quickly. I knew it. I knew this wasn't going to be a real call. And I'm barely a Panthers fan, but I was rooting for them over Edmonton. I got to admit that. Reinhardt scored that goal, and I was screaming in my house. I was like, wait a minute. Don't be this guy.
Are you going to buy the merch?
I was thinking about it, except the hat is terrible. Have you seen the hat? It looks, Fanatics is behind it, so you know it's not going to look great. You can find the Stanley Cup champions hat for the Panthers. It looks doopy. It looks like you tried to buy it at a gas station before the parade. It doesn't look official at all. It doesn't look great. You saw it on the players as they were wearing it.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm not buying that hat. It's doopy looking. Not doing that.
It just says like champions.
Yeah, it's just it's not.
It's like a normal hat. Normally they have like the entire front part is like championship theme. This is like a normal black and gray hat with a little patch that says champions.
Yeah, it's not good for and Fanatics is, that's par for the course for them. We've known their issues with the baseball uniforms, and it just continues with fan memorabilia, as the Panthers want you to buy stuff to celebrate their title.
Maybe a Verhage sweater.
It's Houston. Where am I going to wear a hockey sweater? At what point in the year would I be wearing a hockey sweater? Am I insane?
For a few weeks in the winter.
I guess, like mid-November. Yeah, if I want to stay warm at night, I guess.
At night during the winter.
Yes, those are the times. I was thinking about that because, you know, there's a heat wave going on. Well, they call it a heat wave going on in England. And there are people talking about how England isn't built for it, literally isn't built for it, because there are houses, particularly the ones that aren't in great neighborhoods, weren't built to deal with warm weather. And like the calculation is, the conversion is like 78 degrees into the 80s with high humidity. And there's this guy who's running through it, who's from the States, as they would say. He's from here, and he's running through why people in England are dealing with this and why it's such a big deal for them. And some of the stuff, I'm like, you know what? That makes sense. There isn't a lot of room for air circulation, particularly for people who aren't living in great conditions. The houses are built to keep people warm, or they're just not built for heat. And I'm like, you know what? That's great. And then he's talking about, hey, I'm walking around right now and it's hot. I was like, bro, it is less than 80 degrees. And no matter the humidity, anyone from here is not going to take you walking around under 80 degrees as a thing where we're going to feel bad. All the stuff inside, cool, because we got air conditioning. They don't have air. A lot of their homes don't have air conditioning. But I looked at the clock this morning. It was 85 degrees at my clock. It was like 640 or whatever. It was 85 degrees. Like, no Houston person is going to be like, oh, it's 80 degrees. We feel bad for you when you're walking around midday. I'll take all the stuff as far as sitting in your home because you don't have AC. The other stuff, I can't feel bad. Not with that.
It's also 78 degrees. Just open a window. Like, all the circulation talk, it's not even that. It feels 90 degrees.
This
yeah,
is the thing.
You can't crack a window.
Yeah, I don't know where this guy's from. Maybe he's from Wisconsin. I don't know where he grew up here in America.
Did their windows open?
Yeah, but like, here in America, in Houston, 78 degrees is like, wow, it's a little chilly. It's a little chilly for this time of the year. It's a beautiful day. We'll take that all the time.
You barely even need to buy, like, a box fan at that point.
Yeah.
Like, barely.
Hey, can I cut my AC off? It's only 78 degrees outside. What are we complaining about? Yeah, so I took all his things that he said and appreciated them, but then he got to that. I'm like, nah, not for me. I just walked out of his gas station, and it's 85 degrees. What are we talking about here? I'm not going to take that from him. I'm not going to take that from a guy living in London or whatever the hell he's living.
Any kids that you snubbed on a
Yeah, that
meal?
Didn't, the kid was gone. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if that – maybe it was just a one-day thing. Apparently, it's not a grift every day for him to ask people for food.
Or he's hidden different spots.
Or maybe he's just hungry. I keep calling it a grift. Like, the kid couldn't have just been hungry and didn't have any food. If you missed, I told the story yesterday where a kid approached me at a gas station, and he asked me for change. And it didn't click to me that I could just use my card to buy him food. So I told him I had no change, and then he went on to the next person. And then I started to feel bad because I could have got that kid some Takis if he wanted them. Probably would have told him, you want a sandwich or something? But he wanted his Takis, so I would have got him. I just didn't remember that, you know, the card works fine too. I could have walked him in there and gotten some food, but I didn't. But someone did, so I'm glad about that. A couple things to get to as far as the Astros. We heard Billy Ray ask about OnlyFans models. I don't even remember who he was asking about. Do you remember?
It was the Hawk Tua girl.
Oh, I don't know. I guess her name might be Haley. I don't want to give her a last name. Not that it matters. I'm just not sure what her last name is for the most part. I don't know what the Hawk Tua girl is going to do. She has, from what we've seen from people who say they know her, she is embarrassed by this going viral. And if you missed it, just type in Hawk Tua girl. Hawk, like the animal, and Tua, add an H to it, the name Tua Tagovailoa. Just add Tua and an H to Hawk, and you'll find out what we're talking about. She feels embarrassed. It was, you know, she's having a night out. It's one of those street interviews, and she said what she said about what you should do to keep a man happy, and now everyone has made a meme about her. Hopefully that woman's doing okay. I don't think she's doing OnlyFans, not at this point. She may be gainfully employed doing something else, Ryan. But I did want to get to this since Billy or Ryan asked about the Astros. He wanted their winning streak to continue. Well, we have some updates about a couple of their players. We'll get to that when we come back. How's Justin Verlander doing? How's Kyle Tucker doing? How is Jake Bloss doing? Their most recent injury. Hell, Victor Caratini. We don't know when he's coming back either. So we'll talk about the Astros going forward. There is a story about the Texans. And can they improve on their 10 wins last year and why they may not? We'll get to that. And there's also some Rocket stuff. We will hear from Kelly Eco. He was on with the Killer Bees yesterday, but he also has been making the rounds on podcasts as we get closer and closer to the draft. And he discussed why the Rockets are really going after a star, and it has something to do with what they think of their current roster and particularly what you might consider their top two players. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So updates on a couple of injured Astros, and they're not that encouraging. Justin Verlander has no timeline. There's no timeline for his return. So despite all the initial diagnosis that it wasn't a big deal, it's a big deal enough to not put, and really they're following what, not that they took our advice, but is what we have said. Stop telling people when guys are going to come back, because the Astros have tended to underestimate the time that guys are going to miss. So we're still waiting to see when Verlander will be someone we can hope to come back. It's just has no definite schedule on that. So we'll wait on that, and hopefully at some point there will be a real update as far as his return. But he is improving from that neck stiffness. Thankfully, it hasn't turned into what it turned into of Christian Javier after he was dealing with the neck issue. Kyle Tucker remains a guy who's not doing anything baseball related. Baseball activities are not something Kyle Tucker can participate in because of the pain after fouling that ball off his shin. So that probably means Lopez will get more time and certainly proved himself defensively out in left field over the weekend. So Lopez will get more time. Kyle Tucker was still waiting on some of the pain to subside, and maybe he can walk normally at some point. And then Jake Bloss is the other guy where there is no structural damage, but he's going to be on the IL for a while. So while the IL can involve a short stint, it looks like Jake Bloss is going to spend more time than that on the injured list. So that is an update on your Astros. If there is more on Caratini, I'll certainly let you know. But those are three guys who at least have a recent report on them. And I guess the best thing you can say is these aren't season ending at the moment. It's just guys dealing with pain and discomfort, and we'll wait and see on all three of those guys. I mentioned before we went to break that Kelly Eco was on with the Killer Bees yesterday, and he was also on the Athletic basketball podcast discussing the Rockets. We know we are now it's a bit more than 24 hours, but the draft is fast approaching. And the Rockets have to make a decision about whether they're keeping that pick or trading it. It's a team, I won't say in flux, but it's a team with a coach who I think wants to fast forward this thing as far as being maybe not a contender, but certainly a consistent playoff team. And as they stand right now, they are fighting for the play-in. It was a team when they had their two best players on the court were like 29-35, I believe, before Şengün went down and was out for the year. What you take from his absence and how good they were for a stretch before it kind of fell apart late, that's up to you. Do you think they're better without Şengün? That can be your opinion. The Rockets don't believe that. The question is, what do they believe as far as how good the two guys, when I talk about the two guys, I mean Jalen Green and Şengün. The question is what they think those guys are and where is their status, or what is their status as far as stars in this league. Kelly Eco, on with the Athletic, discussed the Rockets' thought process when it comes to Green and Şengün.
They don't feel like they have a star yet. They have good players, but they're still looking to see if either of these guys, either Alperen Şengün or Jalen Green, can be that guy. And up until this point, they haven't really.
Wait,
they
don't really know that way about Şengün? He was crazy.
No. In terms of like an A1 player, like they don't have that yet. They don't think they have that A1. He can still be a B2.
Maybe like a Sabonis, yeah. Like a number two guy, whatever.
Right. Someone who's going to be a really good player, but can he be a guy that can take you from 41 to 50 wins? You know, that's right. What I'm saying. So, and that's why you kind of see them wanting to stockpile assets to go and get that kind of guy to help these kind of players because they're still young. Right.
That is the one caveat when you're trying to make a determination about how good your two guys are. They're young. That should certainly play a part in the discussion about how good they can be. There was a discussion earlier today from 7 to 10, And Lance Zierlein, certainly a big Şengün believer, kind of pushed back on the thought that they don't have a star in Şengün. I think Şengün's a good player. He's not a great player. Great players in this league drag teams to the playoffs. Even if there are a 7 or an 8, great teams will get teams into the playoffs. The NBA is competitive, particularly in the West, but we know the impact of a star. Şengün's not there yet. Will he get there? Maybe. You heard the name Sabonis come up. I don't think people want to consider that, but Sabonis is a really good player in Sacramento. Really good. He along with De'Aaron Fox, as they played more and more together, have turned the Kings into at least a playoff team. They made that trade 2 seasons ago now in the offseason to acquire Sabonis in exchange for Haliburton, who's become now a real threat to be an all-NBA player every year. So I guess the Kings will say, hey, we picked our point guard. We picked De'Aaron Fox. We've been pretty good with him with Sabonis. The question is, maybe would you be better if you traded the other guy? If you traded Fox instead of Haliburton? Whatever. Maybe the Pacers didn't want De'Aaron Fox, but they made a choice and they've been pretty good, not championship level. So if we're using Sabonis as the Şengün ceiling, that would mean the Rockets do need to go get a better player. Sabonis is a very good player, but we've seen kind of where he tops out. He has another very good player with him. They have a Keegan Murray that they like. Harrison Barnes. Whatever. Mileage may vary on what you think of Harrison Barnes. You know, they are going to bring back Malik Monk. The Kings are one of those teams the Rockets should aspire to be in the mix with once this upcoming season is over. But we know that's not the final goal. So if they believe that he is that type of player, now remember, that's just an athletic guy making the comparison. But if he's on the Sabonis level, they're going to need a star. And Sean and I talked about this yesterday. We don't necessarily believe that star exists, at least not for the price a Rocket should be willing to spend. And I think that's the concern about this offseason. How much are you going to give up for a guy who may not be good enough? And Kelly Eagle talked about it with the Killer Bees. The Paul George thing is probably not where the Rockets want to go. He's not on their timeline, and he's not a player that can elevate this current roster, the way it sits right now, into real title contention. So Paul George may be off the board.
Yeah, or at the very least, just not realistic. And yeah, I think the Sabonis line for Şengün improvement is a good one to have of, hey, in order to be viewed as the guy, you don't even have to be Jokic. I'm just saying, we're just saying, be better than Sabonis. And I think he has a pretty good chance. I mean, they're already pretty close as far as their production this past year, when Şengün is 22 and Sabonis is 28. So realistically, like you said, these guys are still very young and on the upswing, whereas Sabonis is more of a finished product.
In his prime.
Yeah, and we already saw, like, last season there's 5 wins of difference between them, and Şengün missed the last month plus of the season. Like, that, we're already talking about the Kings won 46 games last year. The Rockets won 41. And we hated the team for large stretches of last year. We hated what was on the court for the Rockets. They couldn't win back-to-back games. They're starting Jalen Green.
They stunk on the road.
Yeah, they stunk on the road. Jalen Green wasn't good until March, and they still were 5 games short of what the Kings did. So with the Kings guys all in their prime, except for Murray, but we're talking about their third best player. So I think that it is probably short-sighted to be like, none of these guys are A1s. It's like, yeah, they're not A1s today because they're 22 years old. Like, I don't understand the like, well, we have to act like these guys are who they are right now, where I would say, let's give them a second year with a real coach and a real basketball environment before making any grand proclamations like that.
Well, I guess the problem is your real coach wants to speed this thing up. If he wants to speed it up, is he willing to wait? We know he doesn't have much patience for nonsense in game. Guys will go sit down. Even guys you want to see thrive or even sometimes fail in moments because you think it'll help their growth. Doesn't appear that interested in it, And it changed because those guys played better. But, you know, Jeff Green was getting closing minutes because he'd rather see Jeff Green and Aaron Holiday than some of his young players mess up in a fourth quarter when he thinks there's a game to be had. So I think that's the push and pull of this team. You have a coach who has come from successful places. He was a Spurs assistant. He was in Brooklyn when they thought they were on the verge of doing something because KD and Kyrie were there. And then he was with the Celtics. They made the finals in his first year. I'm not sure he's that interested in the slow build. And by the way, I'm not sure the Rockets organization is all that interested because they wanted to win last year and they had suffered by their own doing being bad in the years previous. So maybe it's not just an Ime Udoka thing, particularly when we hear about the thought of acquiring Marcus Smart, a guy who you would acquire through trading down in this draft and using Smart to be the difference between number 3 and number 9 if Memphis actually agreed to a deal. So the Rockets and what they want to do is in flux, and we know that the guys are starting to get paid from their draft class. Scottie Barnes just got his money. I mean, he'll make it official later, but he agreed to a deal. So are the Rockets going to give Şengün and Jalen Green the type of money that Scottie Barnes just got? That's another potential thing you have to discuss. They don't have to. They can wait. But if you're the agents for Şengün and Green, you're going to look at Scottie Barnes and go, why do I have to wait?
Yeah.
When Scottie Barnes just got his.
Five years, $270 million.
Does that feel comfortable given to Jalen Green, who was picked higher than Scottie Barnes? Does that feel good? Doesn't feel good, does it?
The tough part is you have to give him, or you don't have to. But
you don't.
Theoretically, you'd be giving two of them out at once.
Ooh. You're talking about – now, Şengün would make less because of where he was drafted. But if let's just say they gave all they could, like Scottie Barnes got.
It's 25% max.
Yeah.
And it's 25% of next year's cap.
You want to give nearly $400 million to those two guys in one offseason? Does that feel comfy? Make your stomach all bubbly? I'm sure the thought of it is giving Rafael Stone bubble guts. The thought of even giving those two guys that amount of money in one offseason, I couldn't imagine. Tillman's like, that's right, let's do it.
Half a bill for these two.
When they played together for the most part last year, were 29 and 35 before Şengün got hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sure that feels great to think about giving those guys that money.
Can we get these two guys to like play well together at the same time? Can we do that before...
I know the Scottie Barnes thing was a foregone conclusion because Toronto thinks a lot of Scottie Barnes, maybe more than they should, but they do think a lot of him. You got to believe that the Rockets are like, God, not him. Not a guy drafted right after Jalen.
I mean,
a couple picks after. But,
wait a couple days. Evan Mobley's going to get his.
Yeah. And now, then Şengün's like, I'm better than both those guys.
Yeah.
And Jalen's like, he may be wrong in this opinion, but I'm at least good at both those guys. That's a rough one when you start to get into – I don't think he is. But that's when you start to get into rough negotiations, when they can just point to a couple guys and go, hey, look at that. You see that?
We'll see what Jalen Suggs gets.
We want that. Yeah. Didn't Cade get his money, or he's about to? Did that come down yet? Because Cade is probably going to get his – well, I don't know what Detroit wants to do. I don't think Cade has gotten his money, but that'll be the one. If he gets his –
yeah, he hasn't gotten his.
If he gets his, Jalen's going to be like, it's my time. So the Rockets are...
The story that I pulled up when I just typed in Cade Cunningham extension, Pistons Cunningham, 99.9% likely to get max contract.
Who decided on that percentage? Either way, it suggests that that's a foregone conclusion. And if it's 1 through 4, they all get their extensions. Number 2, the blinking light of number 2 not getting his... Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with those talks.
And number 16.
Yeah,
whatever.
But yeah, the better player hasn't gotten his, but he's down the list. I don't know if 15 or 17 have gotten theirs. But the fact that 1 through 4 have gotten theirs, or at least they look like they're going to get theirs, and number 2 is like, hey, look at me. Where's mine? Give me mine. I don't envy the Rockets when that decision and those negotiations begin in earnest.
Let's see what Franz Wagner gets.
He'll probably get his, too. Orlando likes him, and they made the playoffs. He wasn't good shooting in those playoffs, but it did go to a Game 7. We'll come back with this. I mentioned this in the first segment. We played the call of the ABC broadcast of the final couple seconds in the Panthers Game 7 win. Now we're going to hear from the Panthers broadcast. You're going to hear a clear professional who has probably planned for this moment his entire life, and then you're going to hear the former player who played for the Panthers back when they made their first Stanley Cup, who's been doing the broadcasting thing for years now, too. Let me see if you can tell the difference. We'll play that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Fans to their feet. Bouchard, pass missed Streisaitl. Down to our right, Forsling in the corner. He'll try and hold this. 10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. Whoa! The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah!
Start the celebration, South Florida. The Panthers have done it.
Stanley Cup champion!
The Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers are the 2024 Stanley Cup champions.
That the play-by-play guy, who's, you know, as I said, which one do you think is the professional and which one do you think is the former player? Doug Plagans is the play-by-play voice for the Florida Panthers. That was their call, if you couldn't tell, as they won their Stanley Cup for the first time ever last night. The analyst that was moaning and doing other things on the air is Bill Lindsay. He is a former player, played for them in the 96 season, which is remembered for their first time in the Stanley Cup Finals. They were there last year, lost to the Vegas Golden Knights, as the Knights won their first one as a recent expansion team. So Bill Lindsay, moaning and I don't know, other things. Sean off air said that would be a drop. The question is, when are we going to play that? when is that going to get played?
I don't know. We'll find
a way. I mean, we found we did it, and we play that to close out the show. But can we hear that again?
I wanted to make sure to keep the play-by-play saying Florida, so we remember
what it's from. Yeah, because we're never going to remember if we don't if that wasn't in there.
Is this from one of the videos Ryan keeps asking us about?
Yeah, I mean, Florida's known for their porn empires.
Their scene,
their online porn empires. A couple of them. Bill Lindsay. Shout out to Bill Lindsay. He had a great time last night. His team wins.
I can tell.
And it was a culmination as they edged their way to a Stanley Cup title.
It's the climax of his career.
That's right. It's building up to that very moment, the climax. Wow. Hey, you, it is, look, the guy played there. I get the emotion. He was part of that team when they were scrapping and clawing to try to establish themselves as a franchise. And now he's able to call the game that they win it after being up 3-0 and then the whole world, for the most part, rooting for them to blow it. I get why he feels this way.
Yeah, being teased for going up 3-0 and you just get teased for three more games and then you can finally get the release of that emotion.
Mm-hmm. Bill Lindsay, a hero to the Del Olalea Show. And this name that comes up on the board, it's an appropriate guy to call in after what we've been doing so far. Once he's ready to go, we'll get him. I'm going to say that the Edmonton call, which we don't need to play, a little different. The analyst for that one did not have any sound that sounded like that. He was very somber discussing what happened and why. I think he mentioned how they pinned the puck against the boards and that's how they closed it out. He was very hockey. He was talking about how the Panthers won a lot of board battles.
X's and O's,
not
groans and moans.
Yeah, X's and O's, not groans and moans. That's right.
I mean, obviously we're having a lot of fun with
yes,
that part.
Yes,
because
we are.
That part's objectively hilarious.
But the rest of it,
the rest of it's also
yeah, it's
crazy.
Amazing.
And he just talks over them for a minute straight.
And I'm sure they have a great working relationship. But at points, I hope his name is pronounced Plagans, Plagens, Doug, has to look over to the right and go, "What the F are you doing?" I'm sure they're good friends. But at points, Doug's got to manage Bill, and Bill can't be managed.
No.
There's an explosion of energy from Bill late. Let's get to Tongue Dark Chris. He wants to talk about Texas A&M. What's up?
Hey, Dell, hold on real quick. Sorry.
Oh, no.
We got to give it up for Tennessee. They did America a solid, especially Texas. Like, there are three groups of people that need to be, like, taken out back. That's Jeep drivers, people that still keep Long John Silver's in business, and A&M people. You will know every single person that goes to A&M because they are going to wear that class ring until they die. And it is absurd. And I have another question about people that go to A&M. When y'all are doing y'all's yell, how come y'all are on y'all's knees and make it look like you're milking a nutter?
This is kind of what I thought would be the case after they lost in that fashion. A mere win away from winning a title. And when he mentioned Long John Silver, I've never been to that place, so I can't be considered one of the people keeping them open.
It's not good.
Well, you're not one of the people keeping it open either.
No.
He mentioned...
But my $7 that I spent there once 10 years ago.
And then you smarten up and go, yeah. Wait a minute, this is $7 I'm never going to get
this
back.
This is trash.
I don't understand fast food, seafood. I get though, hey, you buy it, we'll fry it places. That's the fish is relatively fresh. They fry it up. But, you know, why would I go to Long John Silver's? If I want frozen fish sticks, which I haven't had since I was a kid, there are places I can just go to the HEB for that. I'm sure it's a better quality anyway.
They got them at Target.
Yeah, any place will have them. And I'm sure it'll be better. I thought he was going to say they're all the same person, driving a Jeep, going to A&M, and keeping Long John Silver's open. I just assumed that's where that was going, but I was mistaken. Thanks to Tongue Dart Chris for bringing the energy I expected. This is what I expect anytime a rival is involved. And think about this. The promotion of Edmonton winning the Stanley Cup was about their Canada's team. And then I thought to myself, why would any Canadian fan of a different team be rooting for the Oilers? Like, that doesn't happen here. That was America's thought. A Canada team hasn't won since 1993, 31 years when the Canadians won it. I was seeing a couple people tweet about it who are fans of teams in Canada. No one was rooting for the Oilers. It's like here, like Texas forever. Why would a Texas Longhorn root for the Aggies to win anything? Why would a Calgary Flame be like, you know what, Calgary Flame fan, you know what? I want the Oilers to win. I want that team to end the streak. No! Like, a Texas team hasn't won a college football national title since 2005 when Texas did it. Were Texas fans rooting for TCU to beat Michigan? Maybe, because there's not a big rivalry there, I guess. Well, I'll ask you. Were you like, go TCU, let's end the streak? Were you thinking, let's get a Texas team to win the title?
Not particularly.
I don't think.
Also, it was over pretty fast. So.
It was Georgia. Against Georgia. I didn't even have time to contemplate. I don't know. Maybe I want TCU to win. That thought was over pretty quickly. You're right. So I did find it interesting our dumb American brains positioning it as team. It was Canada's team. Canada was like, nah. I root for my team. I'm not rooting for Edmonton.
I will say, as someone who maybe this is the difference, is that the Canadians have. Team like a team that they root for. I don't have a team that I root for.
So you thought
since Gary Bettman refuses to give Houston a team.
Sure.
It's all Gary Bettman's fault.
Of course, he gets booed no matter what he does.
I was booing him in my living room.
He was getting booed last night.
But I think that for me, it's easier just, and it's also just funny that Canada hasn't won one in my lifetime.
And a teams from Florida have won three since they've won one.
Texas,
a team from LA,
they've all won them.
A team from LA, a team from Anaheim, a team from Vegas. They've all won them since Florida. And you mentioned, Texas too.
And so for me, I'm always USA over everything.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Stanley Cup final, just. Yeah, stick it to Canada.
Keep that streak alive.
You can find a city that probably a city that couldn't care less.
I'm sure Boston was rooting for Canada. They don't like anything South Florida, so I'm sure Boston fans. And plus,
but I'm saying, like, the Florida fans, like, you couldn't find a fan base that cares less.
See, they would fight you on that. They hate when that's the thought from people. They hate it. And sure, there are pockets of that. That area.
I can't imagine that.
Because, it's not even in Miami. It's in, like, Broward. Those are different places, despite people just saying they're the same. So, yeah, there are some people who didn't even know that the team was playing. It's very diverse. Broward's a very different place than Dade as far as even demographics are concerned. But they all came together last night because we all love a title. They're celebrating everywhere. Jared and Andy, I see you. The Tongue Dark Chris's call has got you guys maybe riled up. Maybe you want to agree with him. I say this because Jared wants to talk about the Aggies, and Andy wants to talk about fish sticks. We'll talk about both when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips, and being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.